Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another beautiful Sunday to worship our God. Do you notice something different about the church? Looks beautiful, doesn't it? Yeah. So today we begin a new church year in Advent. Do you guys know why the color for Advent is blue? Well, in Advent, what you do is you simultaneously look back at when Jesus first came, but then also look forward to his second coming. And when he comes the second time, where is he going to come from? The blue, blue sky. And so today we begin our church year by taking a look at the blue, blue sky when Jesus returns to judge the world, but also to deliver his people. That's what it's going to be, a day of judgment and of deliverance. So that's what we celebrate today in our worship. We'll also celebrate the Lord's Supper today. So if you are a member here, please prepare your hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord. If you are a visitor with us this morning, we direct your attention to the paragraph on the inside part of the bulletin cover. Let us begin our church year now with hymn number 4. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5. May God bless your worship this year. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment,
both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to you and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for your sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the peace that forgiveness brings, let us praise the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Protect us by your strength and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May be seated. As we begin our church year and look toward that great day of judgment and of deliverance, on the last day we go back toward the beginning. In Genesis chapter 6, where we meet a man called Noah. Noah survived that judgment because of God's deliverance. From Genesis 6. When men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord God said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make for yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth, will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. The word of the Lord. We join together in Psalm of the day, Psalm 24. The second lesson comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, where Peter uses the flood as a symbol to show us that we too have been saved. 1 Peter chapter 3. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day reflects the fact that we are looking toward Christ's second coming. Alleluia. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the words of Christ. The gospel for this morning comes from Mark chapter 13. Here the Lord himself tells us that in light of us being saved, be ready. From Mark 13. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned tasks, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. The Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the Lord that's coming back according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn number 2.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from His Son, our Savior, born on Christmas, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning comes from the first lesson, Genesis chapter 6, which I just read to you, the account of Noah. So let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your deliverance. Amen. To start this morning, I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to use your imagination this morning. I'm going to paint a not-so-pretty picture. So I want you to close your eyes. Imagine for a second that you are in a world with wickedness all around you. People are wicked. You know that their thoughts are evil. They're people that worship those who essentially are just mighty or those who are beautiful. They're those types of people that when they're looking for a spouse, they only look for what's on the outside instead of what's on the inside. They're people that are neglecting God's word left and right. They're full of anger and violence. Now open your eyes. Was it that difficult to imagine? Yeah, getting some of these. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know, I wasn't describing our world now. I was describing Noah's world back in the day. Yet it sounds pretty familiar sometimes. So let me ask you this. As we live in this wicked world, do you ever get worried? Do you ever get worried that you're going to be sucked into that wickedness? Or maybe you don't worry. Maybe you're not even thinking about how the wickedness is luring you into itself. This world is primed for judgment, just like it was in Noah's day. And there will come a day, it will be a day of judgment, but God will also make sure it's a day of deliverance. So are you going to make it? Are you going to be swept away with those of this world? What do you do when you live in a wicked world like this? Well, let's take a look at what God wants us to see in the account of Noah. Noah lived in a world very much like ours, like I said. In order to understand Noah's world a little bit better, it's best to go back 4 or 5 chapters to Genesis 1 and 2. When God created the world, including his perfect pair, Adam and Eve, he looked out at the world and said, "It's very good." And he swelled up with joy and pride. But then that perfect pair became the not perfect pair. They disobeyed God, brought evil and wickedness into the world, and it infected everything, top to bottom, head to toe. But God being God still wanted to give Adam and Eve something very important, something that they could hold on to, something that would give them hope. He gave them a promise. He promised a savior from that wickedness. And from there, the people of the world began to be divided into two groups. You had the people of the promise, those who held on to it, and those who didn't, essentially. Eventually, the scales began to tip. Things got so bad that even the people of the promise began to let go of it, started to take a back seat in their lives. They were worried more about earthly things than about spiritual things. This is what Moses says in Genesis. When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Kind of interesting that the first example of spiritual deterioration among God's people is one's choice in spouse. That's what's mentioned here. The sons of God are those who are holding on to the promise. We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The daughters of men were the daughters that were born to unbelieving families. They were characterized by the image of man, not the image of God. So you had these sons of God, these believers who were looking for a wife, and what were they looking for? They weren't looking for a wife that was a good godly woman, someone who would be a good, strong, spiritual, lifelong companion. They were looking for somebody who was good looking. That's all they cared about. Spiritual matters and God's word, that promise, took a back seat. And eventually, it was even getting kicked out of the car. It was taking such a back seat that eventually God says, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal." Or literally, he is flesh, just a lump of sinful flesh. There is nothing redeeming in men. And yet our God, still being God, says his days will be 120 years. I'm tired of this wickedness. I'm tired of this sinfulness. You got 120 years to repent, mankind. That's it. And during that 120 years, the Holy Spirit was doing what the Holy Spirit does today. He contends with mankind. He shows them their sin and points them to that word of the promised Savior from sin. But back then it was to no avail. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Here's a big statement. The Lord was grieved that he made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, "I will wipe mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them." God had looked out at his world and swelled with joy and pride and said it was very good, but now he looks out and hangs his head in grief and disappointment. It had become rotten to the core. I don't know about you, but if I have a rotten piece of fruit in my kitchen, I throw it away. If I have a computer or a TV that's really on the fritz, I get rid of it and get a new one. Even when I was a kid growing up and I was playing Madden football, the second that game started to go south, hit the reset button. Get rid of that game. Move on to the next one. And yet here is our God, filled with grief and sadness, and it compels him into action. In righteous judgment, yes, but also in loving salvation. After all, how did Noah and his family not get swept away with the wickedness of the world? Here's how. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God's grace. That's how. That word favor can also be translated as grace. God graciously preserved Noah by the promise of the Savior. And he was going to make Noah the face of, yes, one of his harshest judgments on the world, but also of one of its greatest examples of loving deliverance. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Astute students of the Bible will know that Noah was not righteous and blameless because he was such a perfect guy. Now, later on in Genesis, Noah's sin is on full display. Now, Noah was righteous because he believed in that promised Savior. He was righteous through faith, just like we are today. In fact, the Apostle Peter and the writer to the Hebrews point out that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah held on to that promise, and he shared it with others. So, God was going to hold on to him too. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all people on earth had corrupted their ways. The promise was being threatened. So God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. I am going to bring the flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." Oh, and even those animals that have been corrupted in this world, you are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be saved. You won't have to go out and trap all of these animals, Noah, and bring them into the ark. I'm going to give them to you. Oh, and Noah, you're going to be on that ark for a really long time. So something really important. Don't forget, you are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and stored away as food for you and for them. The day the floodwaters would come would be a very grave day of judgment, but God was going to make sure that it was also a day of deliverance. He even took care of all those little details. He took care of the animals, the food, the size of the ark, coating it with pitch inside and out. He even gives Noah instructions about how to create a ventilation within the ark. Let's be honest, with all those animals, ventilation was probably going to be pretty important. But that's our God. He takes care of all of those little details. And if he takes care of those little details, of course he's going to take care of the big things too. God preserves the people of his promise. That's just what he does. And that's important to remember because of the wicked world that we're living in and because of the flesh that we're living in. We too are our flesh, sinful flesh. And so often we give in to the wickedness around us. How often does the Holy Spirit try to contend with our hearts, and yet we just shrug them off? You hear that phrase that the thoughts of them back then were only evil all the time, and your mind goes back to that time that you snapped angrily at somebody and showed that violence in your heart. Your mind goes back to that time when you looked with lust upon someone who was not your spouse. Your mind goes back to that time when you looked at somebody else's Black Friday purchase and you thought, I want that. Why do they get to have that and I don't? Or maybe it isn't a moment that you go back to, but you realize in your life you too have a spiritual backsliding where the word of the promise has taken a back seat. When that happens, usually Sunday morning worship and Bible study become a really low priority. When God's word takes a back seat in our lives, we just don't think about something very important, and that's the fact that he's coming back. Be honest, how many times do you think about Jesus' second coming? Day to day, how often do you think about the last day? Is it a lot? Yeah, it wasn't a lot for those in Noah's day either who were swept away by the flood. And yet, suddenly, drip, 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 the floodwaters came. By then it was too late. You do not know the day or the hour. They got 120 years. How many years do you get? You don't know. And when God judges the world on that last day, is he going to hang his head in grief and disappointment, looking at you? No, because Jesus already hung his head in grief for you. See, God looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, I saw all of that spiritual backsliding you did. Jesus, I saw that time that you snapped angrily at that person. Jesus, I saw that time you looked with lust upon somebody who was not your spouse. Jesus, I saw that time you looked at somebody's Black Friday purchase and thought, I want that, and coveted it. Jesus, I saw that time that you, insert your tiniest to worst sin here. Jesus, I saw that time that you did that, and I will bring judgment upon you. And God did that. Even though we know that those sins had our names on it, Jesus took them and wrote his name over them so that you and I could be seen as righteous and blameless. That day was a great day of judgment, but also of deliverance, when Jesus died for our sins. Now when God looks at you, he doesn't hang his head in grief. He swells up with joy and pride. You have found favor, grace, in the eyes of God. It's because he has given you his promise, and God preserves the people of his promise. And how does he do that? The same way he did it back then. He gives us his Holy Spirit inside of us and also surrounds us with his promise. Yes, you and I are flesh, sinful flesh, but we are not like those people back in Noah's day that were swept away by the flood. Through the Holy Spirit, you and I love each other. We care for each other. Instead of violence, we give forgiveness. We pray for each other. Health challenges, deaths in the family, birthdays, anniversaries, we call out to God on behalf of each other. You are not like those wicked people back then. Thanks to God, you're different. And that's because he has surrounded you with his promise. That's what the church year is. We start a new church year this year. Well, guess what? The church year is the promise. It starts in Advent like we are today, simultaneously looking back when Jesus came the first time and also looking at when he's coming the next time. Then it goes to that day when he first came. It's called Christmas. Maybe you've heard of it. That's when God fulfilled his promise, indeed sent that Savior that we needed. From there we go into Epiphany, which is his appearing or being shown as that promised Savior. We transition then into Lent as we look forward to that great day of judgment but also of deliverance on Good Friday. That's when Jesus died for our sins. What happened 3 days later? That's where we go next. Easter. That's the fulfillment of the promise proven by his resurrection from the dead. From there we go into Pentecost, which seems like forever. God be praised. Sunday after Sunday after Pentecost. Looking at the promise of forgiveness and the promise of the Holy Spirit and that how that changes our lives as we live in this wicked world. That's the church year. That's our year ahead. And today we begin it the same way that it's all going to end. Looking up into that blue, blue sky when Jesus comes back. So as in that gospel lesson, heed Jesus' words. Be ready. Keep watch in your lives and in the lives of those around you. You do not know the day or the hour, but you do know one thing. That day when it comes will not be a day of judgment for you. It will be a day of deliverance because God preserves the people of his promise, and that's you. Amen. Please stand. May God shower you with that promise this year and in the years to come whenever he comes back. Amen. We now sing to God in response to his word of promise by singing Create in Me in your bulletins. You may be seated for the offering. This morning in our prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including Diana Deedy, who had open-heart surgery the other day and is in recovery, Carrie Schweiger, who is also suffering from a heart issue and I believe has surgery this coming week. We pray for Len and Shirley Sampaio's son, Brian, who was diagnosed with cancer and also has upcoming surgery. We pray for Stan Kuhlman, David Haugen, and Helen Meyer, Ellie Ennis's cousin. We also include a prayer for all of those celebrating birthdays this week. We pray the prayer of the church on page 11. Almighty God, send your Holy Spirit to contend with our hearts so that we can be ready for the second coming of your Son. Give us strength that we can look up on that last day in the joy of deliverance. Help us share the message of the promised Savior with those around us, especially this Christmas season. We praise you on behalf of those celebrating birthdays this week. Continue to shower them with your blessings and give them many more years of gospel proclamation to your glory. Lord, we also come to you on behalf of Diana Deedy, Carrie Schweiger, and everyone else faced with health challenges. Guide them and their doctors, bless their recovery, comfort them with the hope of the resurrection, and sustain them with the knowledge that you will never leave them nor forsake them. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way that John the Baptist prepared when he called people to repentance and pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had broken it, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from or eat. Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you.
true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith as a life everlasting. Go in peace.
give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for our closing hymn. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4. Good morning. Happy new church year. It's a pleasure getting it started with you here this morning. Big thank you to everyone who decorated the church. Well done. Can we get a round of applause for that? It's always good to see these Advent candles going too. Thanks for that. Another big thank you to everyone for Advent by Candlelight last night who was involved with that and helped set that up. From what I hear, that was a pretty special night. Also, for those who helped out with the parade, that turned out to be a pretty fun thing to see all those people as you turn down the corner and hand them out pocket invites to our services here for Christmas. I'll get to that in a sec. Stick around for Sunday school today. There's also teen study and Bible study. Bible study, we're starting something new. It's going to be a study focused on spiritual seed planting and the expectation of growth. So I believe that meets here in the sanctuary. Right, Pastor Colander? Yep, thumbs up. We're good. So it meets here in the sanctuary. Again, try to stay to one side if you can. Some more announcements for you. First of all, today is LWMS Mission Box offering. You'll see that in the back. So put that on your hearts and give to that great mission. No Monday services in December. So keep that in mind as well, because there will be midweek Advent services starting this week. The next 3 Wednesday evenings, there's a fellowship supper each Wednesday evening at 5:30 p.m. And then the worship will begin about 7 p.m. So that's the next 3 Wednesdays, 5:30 dinner, 7 p.m. worship. We're coming up on Christmas, and as I said, there are pocket invites that we have. And so if you have some of those that you wanted to give out to people and show them that we have Christmas services, first of all, on December 17th, that's the children's service. That'll be, please note the time, 8:30 on December 17th. 8:30. There is no Bible study in between. And then the second service is still at 10:45. Then we'll also have a unique Christmas Eve day. So Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday this year, so there's some planning that had to go along with that. We decided upon 9:30 a.m. for the normal Sunday, and then the evening Christmas Eve service is going to be at 5 and 9 p.m. So please note that in the weekly update as well. Christmas Day will be one service at 10:30 a.m. So lots to put on your calendar as we celebrate this new church year. There's a special congregational meeting on December 10th. Please put your attention to that in the weekly update as well. Mugs are still being sold. We'll set up the table back there. $7 St. Mark's Lutheran Church mugs. Also, please note the River City Chorale is coming today, and it'll be at 4 p.m. is when it starts. It says 2 p.m. in the bulletin, but that's because 2 p.m. is when they get here and start warming up. You don't have to get here that early. You can come at 4 p.m. for the River City Chorale tonight. Buy tickets at the door for $20, I believe, it says in the weekly update. All right. Anything else I'm missing from anybody out there? Great. Well, God bless you this week, and please stick around and greet one another.